Actually, I suppose while we're waiting for Bernie to connect, we could look at the second item on the agenda, confirmation of the agenda, and just if anyone has any problems, if they could voice it now, and we can make adjustments to the agenda along the way.
Should we not first do a roll call?
Well, I think Bernie normally is part of the recording of that, so I'm just asking if anyone's got any thoughts. They might like to voice them now. That's probably the only thing that Bernie isn't directly engaged in. Sounding like everybody's happy.
Okay, just getting things fired up here, and I'll be on in a minute.
Excellent.
I was about ready to head off to bed, and I said, wait a minute, I have something tonight. Yes, okay. Have we got enough people?
I think we do. There's a few who are on the call who are not in the room, and I think there's one or two in the room that are not on the on the bridge as well. So
oh, excellent.
I think collectively we have a capability of acting, particularly since it's, we went through it informally, or the terminology paper at least, informally on the last call where there were a few people. So I think we can regard this as a first reading formally of it.
Okay. Excellent.
Bernie, is it okay if I make all the documents scrollable?
Oh, yeah, sure. All right, now from Christina again. And I need this. Okay, I should be heading into the Adobe room. You just have to approve me.
Okay, and do you want to scrub the chat that's in the Adobe room currently, Christina, and we'll start from the meeting start?
Yep.
Thank you.
Just a second.
Thank you. Okay, it looks like we have our quorum, so let's formally start the meeting of the 6th of February of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. And Christina, can you give us who's present and the apologies received?
Yes, sure. From CCNSL, we have Becky Burr, Keith Davidson, Daniel Kelchev, Heber Hartlisser, and Bill Semick. From Liaisons, we have Maureen Hilliard, Cheryl Langdon Orr. From Staff Support and Special Advisors, we have Bart Voswinkel, Kim Davies, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernie Turcotte. Apologies have been received from Martin Boyle and from Nigel Roberts. That's all.
Thank you. Any further apologies received by anybody? I think it's it is. I know this is the call that's at an awkward time, and particularly Europe and Africa, and a little bit in the US as well. But it is a little disappointing to see the lack of interest in 2014. So I think if any of you are talking to other members of the working group, please stir them up to. Be re-engaged, even though this is probably quite a pedantic time to get the glossary and other bits finished off. I still would really appreciate everybody's input along the way. Okay, thank you. So it seems to me that the apologies and those present are noted, and I invited any debate on the agenda prior to the start of this call, and nobody had anything to raise. So unless someone has something to raise now, we can treat it as a confirmed agenda. Thank you. We have meeting notes from two meetings that we've missed one from the 20th of November and one from 23rd of January. Bernie, do you want to step us through anything of significance from either of those two meetings?
Well, there really wasn't anything significant. I mean, if we remember Buenos Aires, I mean, basically we selected new meeting dates and agreed to work on terminology was the biggest thing, I guess. So there's not much to point out on the 20 November notes. And the 23rd January notes, we basically only went through the terminology paper unofficially to no comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Just noting in the chat room that Cheryl said Nigel sent his apologies. Did he not? And yes, he did. And I think Christina read them out. So maybe you missed it in the list, Cheryl. Okay. Does anyone else have anything to raise in terms of the meeting report from 20 November or 23rd January? If not, can we consider them confirmed and move on to the review of the responses on revocation? And I'm not really sure how you want to deal with this, Bernie. Do you want to deal with them one at a time or collectively?
We can do either. I believe, Christina, did we upload the documents?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just go through them.
Okay. Yeah, let's deal with them individually. So if we could put up the at-large advisory council one, and let's mind our P's and Q's since we have members of at-large on the call. And Bernie, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Oh, the notes didn't come through. I'll have to pull it up. Hold on a sec. I annotated these, and I will pull it up. Public consultations.
And just while we're waiting, Eberhardt's asking if it could be made scrollable, please, Christina.
It is.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, I'm trying to find the right version of the annotations, and it'll take a minute, and I'll be right with you. I mean, essentially, the summary of it was that I've got to go back to revocation, I guess. Public consult. Ah, here we go. Basically, my take on it, and this is a good thing we've got ALAC people, and we'll see if my take on it was actually correct. They supported a lot of the things that we were going with, but they were adding a few things. And my take on the stuff that was being added was that it was beyond the scope of the working group. I mean, there weren't bad suggestions in there, but it was basically things that we either had formally agreed that we couldn't do or were pretty clearly beyond the scope of what we were looking at. If we look to the summary, section 4, the first bullet, implementation operational detail that is beyond the scope of the working group, if we take it specifically, specify further the appeals mechanism. So basically my understanding of this is, we would start getting into implementation details, which we've had a chat about on several things and have decided that it is really beyond the scope of the working group. I see Al has his hand up, sir. Maybe we can take a question now.
No, it's not a question. As usual, you are very polite and ALAC misses the boat. Yeah, this is policy. We're not this is not in a source document. It doesn't say we have been through this for repeatedly. we should just take note of it and agree with it, but say that it is beyond the scope of this document. I actually can agree with it. It's just that it's nothing we can do about it.
Okay, thanks, Eberhard. Just noting that Bill was giving an indication of his agreement with Eberhard's view, but Cheryl has her hand raised. So, Cheryl.
Thanks, Cheryl, for the transcript record. Eberhard, you're absolutely right, and I don't think it's so much a matter of ALAC missing the boat or even feeling that they'll have missed the boat. I think it's a matter of them wanting to make clear the concerns from the at-large community on these matters, and a response that clearly shows that, exactly as was just suggested, yes, these are issues, they are recognised, but it is beyond the scope of this specific working group, is perfectly all right. I don't think there's any difference here at all. I think the ALAC was taking the opportunity to raise matters that they felt needed to be put somewhere, and whilst this may not have been the perfect place, at least it gets it dusted off and dragged out of the cupboard. Thanks.
Oh, I think it absolutely does put on the agenda some points for further discussion that I think we've agreed as a working group and the CCNSO has largely agreed with. So I think we're all in violent agreement here. Anything else then, or continue, Bernie?
I will unmute myself and that will be better. For second bullet, request the IANA maintain accurate informative reports on cases of redelegation and to record receipts of delegation transfer, et cetera. I think this is in part related to the last issue to be considered by the FOI working group, which is the IANA reports. So once we get through with the terminology, we can do that. It's also in part, again, an implementation operational issue, which is beyond the scope of the working group, and I certainly support the ALAC making it. I think it's something we all want, but it's also something that everyone on the working group has agreed that is beyond the scope. I'll be glad to take questions or comments at this point.
To make a broad observation on that point, I think we had discussed, and Kim had given us some input about the idea of having some sort of flag on the IANA database so that if there was a redelegation request received for any CCCLD, that it could be noted by changing the colour of the flag or something like that. And while some of us thought it was a good idea, I think we decide, or Kim's indication that there were sufficient frivolous or non-serious redelegation requests that it would just make it very difficult and unnerving on everybody if they saw it. And most of those would be dealt with because they're just coming from people who have some local dispute or rather than any sort of serious redelegation. I see Kim has raised his hand, so I'll hand over to Kim.
Just for clarity, under the new IANA contract, we've actually stated we will publicly announce pending redelegation requests. We don't have a formal procedure for it yet. As you know, I think we need a procedure to discriminate spurious requests from those that are legitimate, but the notion is that rather than a redelegation request perhaps being a surprise to the broader community because the first they learn about it is on perhaps the agenda for the ICANN board, that we would note it somewhere in advance and allow people to be aware that one is pending.
Okay, thanks, Kim. So that's the absolute transparency rule dictating, I guess. So it would be interesting to see how that implements. But thank you, Kim, and that probably helps at large with the answer. Okay, is there anything else, Bernie?
Yes, sir. In the full statement of the text, the ALAC statement on the CCNSO FOI Working Group's Interim Report, the fourth paragraph makes a good point. The working group indicated that it had considered whether the GAC principles and accompanying guidelines are consistent with RFC 1591 and whether they provide an aid to the working group's interpretation, Section 222. We do not see any conclusion to these considerations. We note that in Section 4372 appears to factor the GAC principles in specifying the IANA operator revokes a delegation it should attempt in collaboration with the significantly interested parties, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's a good point, and I think Keith can attest to the fact that we've started discussing this at the exec level to understand exactly how that works and to start having a look at how the GAC feels about this. But maybe you have some words of wisdom on this one, Keith?
Not really anything to add. I mean, it's the start of a process. Yeah. So I think it's good that the issue's raised, and it's something that will be addressed more at the implementation stages.
The last point is on point two, do the issues identified by the working group for this topic capture all the major problems associated with the topic, if not, what is missing? The ALAC says, yes, for cases that involve operational problems and substantial misbehavior on the part of the incumbent CCTLD operator, one gap that is of concern to our community is the consideration of whether or not the IANA operator is empowered to act in cases where there is a request for revocation from a local government, which is backed by local law, et cetera, et cetera. And my annotation to this was that this is beyond the scope of the working group, as there is no policy statement in RSA 1591 regarding this, and that the GAC principles are non-binding on managers. So, that's always a question. And I see Becky's probably got a point on this, so I'll turn it over to you, sir.
Okay, Becky, I'm not sure whether it's this point or the previous point, but
no, it's this point. I just think that this is a little bit beyond the scope of our work, but the CCNSO itself is on record with respect to the IANA functions contract as saying basically, we're going to. IANA is bound by the rule of law, but IANA cannot be called on to interpret whether any particular local law has been fully complied with or whether due process rights with respect to that law have been followed. So, I do think that there is a fairly clear statement here that IANA should not be called on to interpret what it means that, sort of what backed by local law is. If IANA is subject to a court order that binds it, then IANA is subject to a court order that binds it, but calling on IANA to interpret, and to make judgments about whether due process and all rights and stuff have been followed is a dangerous precedent.
Okay, thanks, Becky. And Bill has his hand raised also. So, Bill.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of confusion as to IANA's role in this case. I think most of the conversations we've had relating to this, we concluded that this was a local matter, that if local law was to be imposed, then it would be solved in local courts, and the local manager would notify IANA of the voluntary redelegation under pressure of local law or some such similar act. And again, that would keep IANA out of the business of, number one, figuring out what a local government is, in other words, which branch of a local government has the authority to make these decisions or not, and number two, interpreting local law when that's a local matter.
Good points, Bill. Does that help with the or does that help clarify for at large, do you think, Cheryl?
Yes, indeed. It's Cheryl for the record. I do think that'll help clarify, and I would very much like Maureen, if she could, to capture as much on this and perhaps work with Bernie just to make sure that her notes to go back to the ALAC on this is a true and accurate record of what I think is a very reasonable set of chats we've had on each of the points. You know, many of them are agreed with but are out of scope, and the ones that they need clarity on, which is really only the last point in my view, perhaps Becky could pin a little short something as well, and Maureen can also put that back into the wiki page, which is where our at-large community, our wiki page, which is where that our at-large community would look to it. That would be handy as well. Thanks.
Okay, yeah, thanks. Bill, is your hand re-raised? Okay, thanks, Bill. So Bart has his hand raised. Bart.
Cheryl, this is Bart. It's, what will happen is, say these comments and analysis of the working group will be included in the, say, the formal document to close off the public forum. So as soon as this is, as the working group has looked at the different comments, it will be included in the closure document.
Bart, Cheryl here. Thanks. That's great. But I do think Maureen also needs to have it, you know, in the same space as our committee's comments were developed as well. So it's not a matter of duplication, it's a matter of publication in all the right places. Thanks.
Okay. Good. It sounds like we have some clarity about this. So maybe if on reflection, Maureen, there is any further sort of wording, editing or clarifications that could be given, perhaps raise them on the FOI working group list during the week so that if there's any amendments, we can attend to them in next week call, in the next call of this working group. Okay, anyone else have any issues? Back to you, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. And if people need to get a hold of me for any of those questions, you know where to find me. All right, let's move on to the Eggleton document, which also doesn't have the annotation on it. I believe the file that was sent with the agenda had that, and if you don't have it, let me know. I'll be glad to send it to you.
It might have been in my conversion to rich text format, deleted some bits, but anyway.
All right. So our second posted comment was from Mr. Eggleton. It wasn't bad, really. The first part, my first comment was he essentially agrees. Do these issues identified by the working group for this topic capture the major problems associated? Really talking about implementation details for appealing a revocation, which by formal decision of the working group has said it will not do as it is out of scope and for IANA. So again, people wanting to dive in, and they're good comments, and even ourselves, we, as we all know, we tend to go down some rabbit holes, but really we've drawn a very clear line, and I think we can give a very good answer relative to that. Any questions at this point?
Doesn't appear to be.
Seeing none, I'll just keep going. Is the proposed interpretation of the relevant sections of RFC 1591 effective and supported? Again, it seems to be referring to the establishment of formal criteria, which is an operational matter and not for the working group. So, very eloquently put, some nice ideas. I'm sure that we can tuck these away and you know, IANA can consider them, when they're considering implementation details. But they are implementation details. Next point, are the proposed recommendations effective in addressing the concerns raised by the final report of the DRD working group regarding this topic? About halfway down that paragraph, it doesn't seem, however, as though there is communication set up between the IAN operator and the parties locally, whomever those may be. And my comment on that was two points, the first being governments are sovereign and subsidiarity applies, and second, that the manager has an obligation to work with the local community. So, again, we haven't gone into that because I think to a certain degree, governments are governments, and B, managers are required to work with their local communities one way or another, but we are not the group that are going to tell managers how they have to work and interact with their communities. Right under that we have, if there was more communication set up initially, like the required notice given would be set up between IAN operator and the manager, between IAN operator and the local body, there would be much more to evaluate on, blah, blah, blah. Again, interferes with local authority diving into very deep details and beyond implementation recommendations of the FOI working group, but actually going into how local governments and local operators should deal with their local communities, which is, I think, not a good idea for us to even entertain. Any questions, thoughts, or comments? Okay, so wrapping it up at the end, there is this note, this rubric idea was thought of to help with either just the evaluation of the manager through the time of management to help the IAN operator keep tabs on that manager or to trigger the step-in or revocation. Clearly, to be used as a tool, the preparation would be much less difficult. English is a little rough here. Again, implementation operational concerns which are beyond the scope of the working group. So that was about it, unless there are other comments. There are obviously Mr. Eggleton could have spent a little bit more time on the grammar rereading this, but at least it gave us a second comment. Al?
I have read a nice comment by a lawyer once. Dear sir, we remain confused by your advice. I must say I find the document almost impossible to comprehend.
Yes, that is the L way of saying it, and my way was it could have used some more editing. I'm certain we all agree with that, and we're not going to spend more time on it than we need to, unless people would actually like to. Sir? Keith, are you on mute?
Yes, I am indeed. I don't think it would serve the interests of the working group to spend too much time on this. I think they are clear observations, and well, unclear observations, but I think let's consider them dealt with, unless anyone has any objection. Okay. Okay, so I think that deals with the two items of input. So thanks for that. Shall we move on to the terminology paper? Not hearing any opposition to that, so let's put up the terminology paper and take it away, Bernie.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. So for those who missed it last week, this is, we've we've all been at this for a while, so this is not a version 1, but a version 0.1. You're getting used to how I do these things. I kept it short. I brought up the sections which ask us to look at these things. I've listed the objectives. And there is one thing we should be aware of. Under objectives, produce a list of unique identifiers to be used for the administration of CCTLDs. And that is slightly different than what we had, which was produce a list of unique identifier for all the parties identified. And I think with the work we've done and everything else we've headed, I think it makes sense to put in that amendment, but that's up to the group to decide. And then we, since there's no real applicable policy statements, but just following format, then we go right into terminology definitions. There are not a truckload of them. I've gone through all the documents. I've tried to pull out the relevant sections and note where things come from and what we've used. So given there is not huge volume, unless there are questions at this point, we're going to go through it series Adam, like we did on the previous call, and take questions as they come up, if that's okay with everyone.
I'm not seeing any objections, Benny, so please continue.
Thank you. 4.1, consent, bracket for a delegation or transfer of a CCTLD. Definition, consent must be specific, informed, unambiguous, affirmatively communicated, and freely given. So the references are, of course, RFC 1591, Section 6, for any transfer, blah, blah, blah. We all know this backwards and forwards. And Section 4122 of the FOI Working Group Consent Recommendations in Section 7141. Consent must be specific, informed, unambiguous, affirmatively communicated, and freely given. So, questions, thoughts, comments on consent. We have invented nothing. This is straight, pulled out definitions from things that exist and have been approved.
I think I'm hoping this will be pretty straightforward because you know, we've had the debate over the construct of these things, and no one is seeking the floor, so I think there is agreement. So please continue, Benny.
Thank you, sir. 4.2, delegation. Definition, the process by which the IANA operator initially assigns management responsibility or transfers previously assigned responsibility for the management of a CCTLD. And the only reference we have, this came straight from Section 4.1.1 of FOI Working Group Public Consultation on Revocation. So this is one of those terms that we managed to get done with the very able help of Becky, and I think it serves us well. Any questions on delegation? Seeing none, I'll move along, sir.
I think you should.
4.3, manager of a CCTLD. Definition, the entity, bracket, whether an organization, enterprise, government, or individual, close bracket, which is the trustee of the CCTLD, open bracket, as the term is used in RFC 1591, close bracket, comma, supervises the domain names in the CCTLD, operates the domain name system in the country or territory associated with the CCTLD, and is listed in the IANA database of CCTLDs as the manager for the CCTLD. The references are, of course, RFC 1591, which uses the term trustee, and we've beaten this one to death enough, I think. And IANA currently, I have a note that IANA currently uses sponsoring organization instead of manager, and I think we've beaten that one to death pretty much also. I note under Section 4.3.2 that there are some qualifiers. Incumbent manager, same as manager. However, the term is useful when differentiating from the proposed manager in applications for a transfer. And in 4.3.22, the proposed manager, the entity that is listed as the proposed manager in the application for a transfer. Yes, L, it is circular. I'm sorry, I was tired when I was writing it. We may take another go at it. 433 are the references. RFC 1591, Section 3.1, the key requirement, blah, blah, blah. RFC 1591, Section 3.2, these designated authorities are trustees. FOI consent, Section 7121, where we go through this in great details. That is manager. Are there any questions?
Yeah. Well, Becky's just raising in the chat the question whether variance might be a better word than qualifiers.
I always defer to Becky on the proper use of words in the English language in a formal setting like this. So this is why it's a 0.1, folks. Go ahead.
Just a suggestion, Bernie.
Your suggestions are so good. All right, anything else?
Well, I think that might be helpful, actually, because it's a little bit more prescriptive. And, Nigel is not in the school. You may have something to say.
So sorry.
Helping to clarify pre-Nigel might be useful.
Yes, we miss you, Nigel. We can write that in the transcript. Okay. All right, does that, variance, and that will conclude the section for manager, unless there are other points.
No one else is seeking the floor, so I think we're okay to continue then.
Thank you. 4.4, revocation of management responsibility for CCTLD. The process by which the IANA operator rescinds responsibility for the management of a CCTLD from an incumbent manager. Again, straight lift from Section 413 of the FOI Working Group Public Consultation on Revocation. There is actually no other reference to that for a definition. Of course, revocation is mentioned in RFC 1591, and I should probably add that in there, but there is no definition, which is why we ended up doing what we're doing. Note to myself to add the reference point in RFC 1591. Any other comments?
No one's seeking the floor. I think that's quite clear, and I think, yes, it is proper to add the reference to 1591 there. I think everyone's happy.
All right, moving on. 4.5, significantly interested parties, SIP. Definition, significantly interested parties include, but are not limited to, A, the government or territorial authority for the country or territory associated with the CCTLD, and B, any other individuals, organizations, companies, associations, educational institutions, or others that have a direct material, legitimate, and demonstrable interest in the operation of the CCTLD bracket S. Straight lift from FOI Working Group SIP recommendation section 7.1.1, which is included right in there, so you can see exactly where it is. There's also the reference to RFC 1591, Section 3.4, which talks about significantly interested parties. We have certainly, over the many months, beaten this one to death many a time, but if there are any other questions, now's a good time.
I can't believe everybody's so happy, but nobody's seeking to interject, so please continue, Ben.
All right, we're almost there, folks. Stakeholders. Definition. Stakeholders encompasses significantly interested parties, and other parties referenced in RFC 1591. So if we remember the discussion There were significantly interested parties, but RFC 1591 does mention other categories. So we defined, and if we look at the wording we've been choosing over the years with IANA and in other areas, it seemed to make sense to bring back that definition of stakeholders, which came up from our discussions. And it's also in the GAC principles, so that's an added point for us. Any questions, thoughts, or comments on that?
Again, and perhaps not all that unsurprisingly, everyone seems to be in some agreement, or no one is seeking the floor, so please continue, Bernie.
Okay, 4.7, transfer from an incumbent CCTLD manager to a proposed manager. Definition, reassignment of the incumbent manager's role as trustee for the CCTLD, as the term is used in RFC 1591, to the proposed manager, including, without limitation, changing the entry in the IANA database. So, we've got some notes right under there. In RFC 1591, the term trustee is used to describe the manager's duty to serve the community and not to describe the specific legal relationship of the manager to the delegated domain. This is our mantra. We've been using it for a few years now. I think we all know that one. 4712, the term redelegation and unconsented redelegation are widely used by the stakeholder community when describing the reassignment of a CCTLD manager. Given there are no references to the term redelegation in RFC 1591 and that there is no policy basis for an unconsented redelegation, the FOI working group recommends that the use of the term redelegation be dropped. So, that was my own addition. It's not a definition, but it's a comment on why we're bringing in transfer. I tried to capture the various discussions we had as a group on this and to sort of give it some flavor, but I'll be glad to take direction on that one if people don't feel satisfied with it.
Just noting Bill Semich is indicating agreement with what you've asserted, Bernie, and no one else is seeking to debate it, so potentially a useful addition.
Okay. And basically, that definition came from FOI Working Group Consent, Section 7121, and was a minor edit of that. So, unless there are other questions, we've actually done it. So over to you, sir.
Are there any questions in the overall sense? Is it, Kim, can we ask you, is there anything that causes you any concern from an implementation perspective? And is there anything in terms of a gap, Kim, something that you would like us to perhaps clarify or better define?
Hi, thanks. My feeling is I have no real concerns about the definitions as they're stated. My only question, and I don't really have a direct specific question to pose, is some of these definitions, in which specific circumstances do you expect IANA to be using them? For example, you've defined significantly interested parties and then defined stakeholders. Is there a particular distinction that the group feels needs to be drawn about in which circumstances IANA uses the term stakeholders and which it uses significantly interested parties, for example? That's just one that comes to mind.
Oh, that's not unreasonable either, so... Yeah, Bernie, any thoughts?
From my point of view, significantly interested parties is that clear section which refers to that point in RFC 1591. The stakeholders are a more general point of reference that gathers up everyone, which sometimes we need to talk about. So I think that's why I had put it in there, is that we'd gone through that and came to that decision a while ago on the stakeholder point. And I thought it was just useful to have it in there. But when we're talking about really the brass operational tacks of the thing, the things that we refer to are the significantly interested parties. If we want to talk about the larger community, which may have some interest but does not meet the qualifications to be considered a significantly interested party, then we can talk about the stakeholders.
Well, just wondering.
I don't know if that helps.
Just wondering if, for the purpose of clarification, as part of the definition for stakeholders, we could say stakeholders include significantly interested parties and may also refer to a broader range of stakeholders in the, something along those lines. So it gives Kim a point of differentiation where he might use one against the other.
We can look at doing that, sir.
Okay. Okay. Any other comments? I can't believe it could be this easy.
Wait, Nigel will be on the next call.
And smart. Yeah, that's true. Yes, Nigel and Martin with their own particular flavours of the use of English language may add some further colour and depth. Okay, well, I think we've done the topic, unless anyone else has anything to raise. Shall we move on to the item 6 on the agenda, the GAC update? We've been working on a document. I think we've talked in the past about having a webinar or offering a webinar or whatever the GAC might want to get up to speed and up to date. We've been working on a document to send the GAC to say, what do we need to do between now and Singapore to make sure we're the GAC is focused and understanding and can hopefully add their agreement to the framework. I think that'll probably go to the and I think the GAC is of a mind now to understand that they have to commit to finishing their contributions to this working group. So I've just come back from Los Angeles. I was in the ICANN office for the last couple of days with Suzanne from the GAC, and we had a couple of discussions on the point, and she's preparing to be refocused. And just in the last couple of days, I've received some emails from Frank on various topics around the framework and other things. So I think the GAC is ready to re-engage, and so we'll take that as a sign of willingness to make some progress between now and Singapore, and hopefully have some finalisation of the framework on the agenda for Singapore. So I hope everyone's happy with that. If there's nothing else, can we move to the next meeting? We have two more calls, February the 20th and March the 6th. So let's hope the February 20th call can go as smoothly as today's and we can finalise the terminology paper. And hopefully by then we'll have some better construct around the GAC. Becky is seeking the floor, so Becky.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, I think that there's a conflict with the CCNSO council call on February 20th.
Oh, okay. Gosh.
I mean, I just think that there's an overlap. So our call is from 6 to 8 a.m. my time, and I think the CCNSO council is 7 to 8. So we should just,
Becky,
several
is right.
Of us have to be on both of those calls.
Me too. Sorry about
that.
Right.
Maybe
they're
not there or either way. Well, we should just finish it in an hour. That's all.
I guess that puts attention on for us to do that. I think because it's scheduled. Let me have a look at that and. I'll come back to the working group if there is any change within the next day or two. As a new topic, can I suggest to working group members that they have a look at the webinar outputs from the Paul Mokopetris high-level panel? There's an interesting suggestion that for the future of the zone file changes for CCTLDs, CCTLD should make a recommended change to the IANA database as a public statement, and other CCTLDs should vote. And if there's a 51% threshold of other CCTLDs approving that CCTLD's changes, then it should be made in the database. I don't think that's in any way consistent with anything we've done or the CCNSO desires. So it may be something that members of this group may wish to comment on to that high-level panel. I see Eberhard seeking the floor, so Eberhard.
The words dying and ditch come to mind.
Well, you know, I think each of the panels is going to refer to the IANA database or the globalization of the IANA database in different ways. I'm a little surprised that a group comprising Mokopetris, Vixi, Jeff Houston, and so on could come up with a suggestion like this, but there you go. Anyway, I don't think our working group should have any formal position on it, but just for those who are interested in following those panels, it might be worth thinking about. Okay, if there's nothing else, I think we will reconvene on the 20th. So thank you all for your participation, and I think this is going surprisingly well, and let's hope we can continue, and let's hope we can get it done in an hour on the 20th. Thank you all, and good day to you wherever you are.
Thank you.
Good night, all.